राजकुमारा अस्मानत्र शिशो सुकुमारा।
गोपाल चांपू, चैप्टर 9, एंटरिंग वृंदावन। Another day when the assembly gathered, Nanda said, "Oh dear, Snigdhakanta, these two trees attain bodies like devatas according to their desire. What were those trees in a previous life? From where did they come, and how did they come to Braj?" Snigdhakanta said, "These two were born from the friend of Shiva, Kuvera, lord of the Yakshas, lord of the city of Alaka. When they showed arrogance to Narada, Narada scolded them. He showed mercy to them. Though they became trees, they also became devotees of the Lord. They remained as Yamal Arjun trees near your future house in Mahavan. Attaining their planet, they became great devotees. They have revealed the results of bhakti." Nanda said curiously, "Please tell the story. Where are they now?" Bowing his lotus face, Snigdhakanta remained silent and glanced at Madhukanta. Nanda said, "Why are you reluctant to speak?" Snigdhakanta said with respect, "What can we say? You will come to know all of this by yourself." With a smile, Nanda said, "True, what you have said will be repetitious. By your silence, you can give us the answer. By this means, we can know. Anyway, you should make us happy by speaking it yourself." Snigdhakanta said, "We are the two to whom Narada gave good results and knowledge by his mercy." Hearing this, all the people headed by Nanda called them and again mingled with them happily and eagerly. Seating the two amongst them, they gazed at them. After these questions, Madhukanta again spoke, as it was his turn. Five days after the remarkable events, Upananda went to his house and inquired from his wife, "Did you go to the house of Nanda today?" His wife replied, "What more can be said? Who can remain steady without going to his house? What to speak of persons like us who are related to him?" Upananda said, "If something special happened, please tell me." His wife said, "That person who has great prema also has great fear. Having eyes is full of worry, unlike having ears or other sense organs. Though protected by their fearless mothers who perform faultless garbhadhan samskara, the two boys cause great disturbance since no one can be fully satisfied when they see the two boys play. For instance, hear what happened today. Yashoda was busy preparing Nanda's meal along with her relatives. Rohini was helping. The two boys went far away, fooling the nurses, considering the nurses to be an obstacle to their fun. When the nurses focused on other work for a moment, the two boys hid in a place invisible to their roving glances. Then, by plain deceit, they ran off to a far-off place. They then played noisily with their shouting friends. The nurses engaged to protect them realized after a few moments that they had been cheated and quickly went searching for them. Calling their names for a long time, they finally gave up and informed Yashoda and Rohini what had happened. The two boys went far off to a place where the river was very deep. Hearing this, Yashoda sent Rohini to bring them back. "Ah, perhaps some trees like the Yamala Arjun trees impelled by evil persons or the course of the river will block their path. Please quickly go there while I cook without interruption." With troubled body and mind, Rohini went there and called to Krishna, breaker of the Arjun trees, who was playing on the bank of the river. Krishna, absorbed in play and controlling the boys, did not heed her call and had Balaram also ignore her. Giving up, she returned home and sent his mother, for whom Krishna had some fear. When she went there, she saw Krishna playing with Balaram and the other boys. She called him while milk flowed from her breast like rain. She did not approach immediately, fearing Krishna would flee. "Please taste the sweetness of her calling." "My dear son Krishna, lotus-eyed Krishna, come here and drink the milk of my breast. My dear darling, you must be very tired because of hunger and the fatigue of playing so long. There is no need to play anymore." Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 11th Chapter, Text 15. He did not come since he was intent on winning in competition, but she was determined. She thought that Balaram, an object of equal affection, would heed her words with respect and shouted to him tenderly. Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braja is now waiting to eat. Oh, my dear son Balaram, he is waiting for you. Therefore, come back to please us. All the boys playing with you and Krishna should now go to their homes. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 11th Chapter, Texts 16 to 17. After she attracted Balaram in order to make Krishna give up playing and became joyful, she spoke with eagerness. My dear son, because of playing all day, your body has become covered with dust and sand. Therefore, please come back, take your bath and cleanse yourself. Today the moon is conjoined with the auspicious star of your birth. Therefore, be pure and give cows and charity to the brahmanas. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 11th Chapter, Text 18. Seeing other boys coming from their houses at that time, her desire to take him home increased. She said, just see how all your playmates of your own age have been cleansed and decorated with beautiful ornaments by their mothers. You should come here, and after you have taken your bath, eaten your lunch, and been decorated with ornaments, you may play with your friends again. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 11th Chapter, Text 19. From infancy, Krishna was raised under the protection of the brahmanas. He thus stopped his play to give charity to the brahmanas. Attracting him with her calling, she then approached him gently, and holding both their arms, she brought them home. Just as the brahmanas chant mantras along with worship of devatas to drive away evil spirits, Yashoda, though telling a lie when she mentioned that it was his birthday constellation day, produced great joy as if it were his birthday. Hearing her words, omniscient Upananda began to reflect. The two aged mothers have anxiety for their sons, for this land seems to be surrounded by evil men. I will go to Nanda's assembly and raise this issue for consideration. His wife said, you should again discuss in the assembly. The cowards met in the assembly of Nanda, the shelter of all present, within the coward village of Braj filled with cows. They discussed why protecting the cows was not being properly done in that place. By living a long time in Mahavan, all the trees have been destroyed. But those who were elder in years and wisdom, as well as Upananda, endowed with prema for Balaram and Krishna, attained great bliss by Krishna's presence. Krishna decorated the bed of their laps most wonderfully and, holding his chin, asked fake questions. He moved about to get various objects as toys. Upananda then spoke nicely and was in favor of protecting all the children after seeing the worrisome state of Nanda while living in Mahavan. He spoke, though you all say that we should not stay here in the interest of cow herding, I say we should not stay here in the interest of the young children. Though Nanda's son is being protected with great care, since many accidents have occurred, what other reason do we need for leaving here? When misfortunes occur, we are protected by the Supreme Lord, but it is not proper to make the Lord act on our behalf. A person who is moving considers both the place being given up and the place being accepted. He gives up the place which gives grief and accepts the place which gives happiness. That place is unsuitable which gives sorrow in this life and the next. Mahavan is now giving us sorrow on a daily basis. One should take shelter of that place which gives happiness in this life and in the next. The forest of Vrindavan gives the highest happiness and is most pure. In Vrindavan there is a mountain called Govardhan. It provides everything for the cows and cowherds. The cowards pay their taxes to the forest since they are not restricted like towns. In going from one forest to another, the king's permission is already granted. One must consider which activities will give happiness or fear. One must act quickly, for if one delays, there will be increased fear. We should leave this place without being lethargic. Whatever effort is put into an action produces a quick result. If my reasoning is pleasing to you, it is good. therefore there is an agreement on an object being investigated, it will produce great benefit. If you agree to this proposal, have the cows give milk to their calves to the full satisfaction and set them off to Vrindavan. Then household utensils should be packed up and the carts with tent covers should be engaged. When going to another place, such tents are well known among the cowherds. For that argument, cowherds accepted his words, "When seeds are sown on proper soil, they sprout and bear fruit, and not otherwise." With a rumbling of drums, they all called out, "Let us inform Purnamasi, send her first, and then move the village." That sound, Gosha, confirmed their name, Gosha, which means cowherds. When cows and humans make a loud noise, and when they reside together, it is called Gosha. There arose many indistinct sounds along with cries to the cows, hee-hee, hee-hee, gee-hee, gee-hee. The rumbling of the carts and sounds of musical instruments obscured all other sounds. Placing the elders in the carts, holding bows, the cowherds gravely departed with the walking cows. When all the carts moved together, they made a rattling sound. People looking from afar, seeing the carts with tent arrangements, said that it looked like a moving village. On the road, some ran, some called, some answered, some went back and then forward, some were taking care of their relatives. All were singing the pastimes of baby Krishna while shedding tears, becoming stunned, perspiring, developing goosebumps, and changing complexion. The women, wearing new clothing, mounted their carts and began singing with bliss in loud voices. O son of King Nanda, O son of Yashoda, from birth you've increased bliss. You give bliss to all your relatives. You drank poison which lost its effects by touching you. By your mercy, you do not accept others' faults. You became blissful on breaking the cart. You are good luck for Gokul. You are pleasurable by having many names. You always play with Balaram. You play in the yard by crawling around. You play together with your friends. You overcame Trinavarta. You gave bliss to Nanda. You take pleasure in releasing the calves. You give happiness and fame to the people of Braj. Your thieving gives joy to all and shows your great courage. You perform pastimes of being tied up and give happiness to all by your nature. While singing and desiring to see Krishna, they proceeded quickly. Thus hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram, with great pleasure, Mother Yashoda and Rohini, so as not to be separated from Krishna and Balaram for even a moment, got up with them on one bullock cart. In this situation, they all looked very beautiful. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 11th Chapter, Text 34. On the cart, the two women sat in the house-like cart, shining gold and inlaid with jewels, having soft, clean pillows inside, and made brilliant by the effulgence of Krishna. The topics of discussion were of two types, topics concerning Krishna and topics introduced by Krishna. Speaking about Krishna, all the women who went beside the cart pleased the two mothers unlimitedly with known and unknown pastimes of the two boys. Prema took on a most surprising form. All topics filled with prema were as if unknown previously. Krishna said, "O mother, where is everyone going?" His mother said, "O son, we are going to a forest called Vrindavan." Krishna said, "When will we go home?" His mother said with a smile, "We are taking our house with us." Krishna said, "How can that be explained?" Balaram said, "O Krishna, these big carts, which are like houses, with places lower down for cooking and other chores, are coming with us." Krishna, looking with astonishment, touched Balaram and laughed. He said, "You have spoken the truth, since the trees standing far away are also moving." His mother and Rohini said with a smile, "O son, the trees are not going anywhere, but only appear to be moving." Krishna said enthusiastically, "That is all right, but where is Vrindavan?" Rohini said, "O son, it is across the Yamuna River." Balaram said, "We have left the Yamuna far behind. Is there another Yamuna in front of us?" His mother said, "O son, the river never divides at all." Balaram looked at his mother's face with joy and astonishment. Krishna said, "But you did not consider that the river moves just like the trees in the distance." When the two mothers laughed in joy, Krishna again spoke with eagerness. "O little mother, what abundant joy exists in Vrindavan for which we make such endeavors." Rohini said, "O son, there are many places for playing and many things to play with." Joyfully ornamenting the lap of Balaram like a spotless moon with his dark complexion, Krishna, raising himself up with affection for his limbs, raised his head and then looked at Balaram's face. Laughing, he joyfully rolled about. Balaram, raising his head and revealing jubilant pastimes, made Krishna laugh for a long time. They approached the forest, joyful with the touch of the breeze mixed with the waves of the Yamuna. Listening to the conversation of the two mothers, Krishna stood up and joined Balaram. He talked to the comical elders with no teeth, saying, "What you say is not correct." While seeing known and unknown trees, animals, and birds, asking about these and receiving answers, they arrived at a pleasant forest on the bank of the Yamuna. The questions and answers. What is that tree with all of its leaves quivering? It is a pipala tree. What is that tree with millions of buds? It is an idumbara tree. What is that with long locks of hair over there? It is a banyan tree. In this way, on entering the new forest, the mothers and children talked. This marvelous talk gave joy to all people by its showers of sweetness. What are those brown and black animals jumping about? Those are deer. What is that animal which is a mixture of a buffalo and a horse? That is known as a Rohisha deer. What are those animals with branch-like horns? Those are Sambarav deer. The son of Nanda, along with Balaram, remains glorious as he asks the names of animals from his mother. What is that colored bird? That is a peacock. What is that softly cooing bird? That is a cuckoo. What is the bird talking like a human? That is a parrot. What is that thing going to the flowers? That is a bee. In this way, the two boys talked to their mothers while going to the new forest and laughed. They showered the women of Braj with waves of bliss. The inhabitants of Braj then arrived at the bank of the Yamuna, which became crowded with the carts and cows. When they desired to cross the river, they wandered about, making sweet sounds as they talked to each other. The two then left their mothers and went to the high cart of their father. Because of its height, with joyful eyes, they saw Vrindavan, giving joy with its wildlife, and they saw the river beautiful with its blue lotuses. Nanda and the others began talking among themselves. "Oh, that forest across the river from here is most beautiful. It is like a cloth of various colors, whose edge is carried as a reflection of Yamuna. Vrindavan has a wonderful flow of sweetness, like a showering cloud with lightning and a rainbow because of its red, yellow, and white flowers. From far off, it releases a shower of nectar. Its rare fragrance attracts the bees from the heavenly planets. Vrindavan is like a householder welcoming guests, attracting them from afar by its fragrance. The noise created by the various cries of birds, like an attracting mantra whose subject is Krishna, attracts living beings which have ears, though they do not know the meaning of the cries. When Krishna and Balaram began to see and hear all of this, the coward men prepared for the cows to cross the river. At the time of crossing the bank, the water of the Yamuna became filled with cows in a moment. When the cows had crossed the river, the cowards had the women come down from the covered carts along with the furniture and crafted a boat-like bridge like a highway. Using great skill, using kasha, kusha, shara reeds, and bamboo bound together. When the bridge reached from one side to the other, the people who were on one side became the inhabitants of the other side, which was like the space between Mathura and Kaliya's lake. Singing, laughing, and playing, they entered Vrindavan with the carts. It is said, In this way they entered Vrindavan, where it is always pleasing to live in all seasons. They made a temporary place to inhabit by placing their bullock carts around them in the shape of a half moon. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 11th Chapter, Text 35. With great enthusiasm and eagerness, Krishna and Balaram jumped down from the cart near the bank of the river. Calling their friends with long and short cries, putting them behind, they entered the pure, colorful forest. Looking left and right, they began walking. How can this be described? On entering the forest, Krishna perceiving it, touched it and made it blissful. Poets describing human attributes describe that forest as singing through the calls of the cuckoo, dancing by the movements of the creepers and developing goosebumps in its sprouting buds. This is true, since the forest reacted in this way by the touch of Krishna's feet. This will be confirmed later. The two experienced bliss and courage by being raised on the shoulders of relatives and being carried around along with their friends. They associated with animals having auspicious marks and went from Vatsal Krita on the bank of the Yamuna to Satikara. With the sound of drums and the order of Nanda, with Satikara on the west and facing southeast, they stopped at a level area devoid of trees. Vrindavan, whose qualities are revealed by its names, when occupied by Nanda's group, shone with splendor as if awakening from sleep. They made a living space for the cows by placing the carts in a half circle within which they placed the cows, providing them with extensive pasturing space. They made a half circle with carts at the edges, which served as a living space for the cows with protection. That's from the Harivamsa. That day they made a living place using the carts. The next day they placed thorning trees, branches which they dug up, and old thorn bushes around the carts. Also from the Harivamsa. With Govardhan visible from the eastern gate, they built houses near a line of trees. Though they had given up fine houses, the coward houses they built now were not inferior to the previous houses. The coward village measured 8 kroshas. The cow pastures within it measured 4.5 kroshas. Though this measurement is accepted by material eyes, the place was actually inconceivable in its potency. In the middle was Nanda's house. On its sides were his brothers' houses. Around those were many other people's houses. Their homes were arranged according to the amount of their prema. As previously, they all experienced unprecedented bliss on coming there. The two boys, anxious to play, had a very strong desire to see the forest again. Every day, the two wandered around in the forest with their father herding the cows. When Ram and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the banks of the river Yamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 11th Chapter, Text 36. All the banks of the Yamuna with their natural areas surpassing fields of camphor, Govardhan with piles of rocks suitable for sitting and lying down, and the jeweled earth of Vrindavan with its groves of attractive trees became causes of joy for the two boys. Madhukanta, having finished, folded his hands and spoke, "O king of the cowherds, you have given birth to a son who, though acting as a child, maintains the universe." When Krishna's pastimes were thus broadcast, as on previous days, all experienced unlimited bliss and then returned to their houses.